got a sprain or an itch.
Welcome to another edition of Hey Doc. I'm Dr. Harold Lasky, medical director and physician at Southside Medical Center, right here in Jacksonville, Florida. I'm your host for the next half hour. With me today is my co-host and wife, Carmen Lasky, a certified EMT. Together, we hope that you will find the show informative, educational, as well as entertaining. Appendicitis, bronchitis, colitis, duodenitis, encephalitis, all end in itis. In medicine, this is simply a word, ending, or suffix that, when added to a name of a body part, simply indicates inflammation. In other words, swelling or injury. Hey, that reminds me of a song. There's capsulitis, ceratitis, choroiditis, and some more. Gingivitis, hepatitis, laryngitis, that I do deplore. Add meningitis, myositis, neuronitis, two bits. Now, onychitis, orchiditis, palatitis, give you the deep six. Choroiditis, colitis, dactylitis, they're not so little. Then bronchitis, colitis, colitis, just to name a few. We even have helitis, choroiditis, added to the mix. I won't continue, otherwise you might change channels after this.
Thus, bronchitis means inflamed lung tubes, and laryngitis describes a sore voice box. This month, let's discuss one of the other itises, hepatitis. In other words, inflammation of the liver. Specifically today, hepatitis caused by viruses.
Remember that the liver is located under the right rib cage and is responsible for decontaminating our blood. Hepatitis can be caused by things we eat, drink, inhale, or absorb through the skin, especially alcohol, medications, and chemicals in the environment.
But sometimes a group of viruses called hepatitis viruses cause inflammation of the liver, and that's what we will be talking about here.
They go by the absurdly ingenious names of hepatitis A, B, C, D, E, and even G. Go figure. And just to make it complicated, the newer ones are not named H and I, but TT and SEN. I guess just to confuse. And by the way, what happened to F? Why is there no hepatitis virus F? Has it been F'd?
Well, actually there was a hepatitis virus named F in honor of France, but it got, shall we say, delisted as further investigations failed.
So hepatitis F is now just a hypothetical virus linked to hepatitis. A footnote in history. A smudge on medical science.
The TT virus is an unenveloped, single-stranded DNA virus that shares characteristics with the parvoviruses and circoviruses.
It has been detected in blood and liver assays of patients with fulminant hepatic failure or with chronic hepatitis of unknown etiology. However, TTV has also been detected in the blood of up to 10% of the general population and up to 50% in patients with other pathologies. There's currently no evidence that chronic TT viremia is responsible for hepatic inflammation, cirrhosis, or even development of any hepatocellular carcinoma.
Recently, a novel DNA virus, which at the moment has been designated the SEN virus, was discovered and is thought to be associated with post-transfusion hepatitis.
But as they used to say,
inquiring minds want to know.
I want to know.
And you, our listeners, probably now know more hepatitis types than most physicians. You might be saying to yourself, who cares about hepatitis now? I've heard they can be cured. Well, not so fast. Listen to the rest of the show to learn what can and what can't be cured. How can we prevent these infections and what can happen if we don't? There are vaccines against hepatitis A and B, but not C or others.
Your first question may be, why is there no vaccination against hepatitis C when we already have vaccinations for hepatitis A and B?
First of all, the hepatitis C virus is more variable than are the viruses that cause hepatitis A and hepatitis B. For starters, hepatitis C virus occurs in at least six genetically distinct forms called genotypes with multiple subtypes. About 50 subtypes, in fact, have been identified.
Different hepatitis C virus genotypes cause most infections in different parts of the world. A global vaccine would have to protect against all these variants of the virus.
Also, there are limited animal models of hepatitis C infection. Hepatitis C virus can infect chimpanzees, and the infection in chimpanzees is similar to that in human adults. But ethical and cost concerns have limited medical research with these animals.
Our efforts to develop a hepatitis C vaccine started more than 25 years ago when the hepatitis C virus was identified. Since then, researchers have studied more than 20 potential vaccines in animals.
And a few of these vaccines, developed mainly in the past decade, have undergone limited testing in people. There has been a therapeutic vaccine trial to determine whether each vaccine is safe and successful at reducing evidence of hepatitis C in participants' blood. Completion of this trial is expected in 2020. Then there'll be a prophylactic or preventive vaccine trial. This trial involves people at high risk of becoming infected with hepatitis C. Its purpose is to determine the safety of the two vaccines and find out whether participants receiving either vaccine are less likely to become infected with the hepatitis C virus over a six-month period than those participants who received a placebo.
This trial had enrolled a large sample of participants. It ended in July 2018. If this trial has good results, larger trials will still be necessary to verify this effect and determine the best way to deploy the vaccine.
Hepatitis A, B, and C are the most common strains in the United States, where 3 to 5 million people are thought to have hepatitis C. That's more than 3 times as many as have HIV. Also, about 25% of people with HIV are co-infected with hepatitis C, especially those who have shared drug injecting equipment. Approximately 3/4 of people with hepatitis C were born between 1945 and 1965.
Some had organ transplantations or blood transfusions prior to 1992, when screening tests became available. Some may have shared needles or syringes or even personal hygiene items like razors or toothbrushes.
New treatments are curing people at rates of 90% or better, most often within 12 weeks and with minimal side effects. Unfortunately, and there always seems to be that unfortunately, the price of the cure is just shocking, over $80,000. Some insurance plans pay under the Affordable Care Act, which covers pre-existing conditions, and the manufacturers of these curative medicines have patient assistance programs.
However, if you have hepatitis C and are waiting for the treatment you need to start protecting your liver right away, especially to avoid further damage if you have hepatitis.
But first thing is first, stop or at least minimize consumption of alcohol. This is first and foremost. Also remember that drinking water, eating less greasy, fatty foods, and exercising are truly beneficial. More bad news for some, you need to stop or again at least minimize your smoking. To understand the implications of the hepatitis virus, you need to know that your liver is again located in the right upper area of your abdomen and performs many critical functions that affect metabolism throughout your body, including bile production, which is essential for digestion, filtering of toxins from your body, and excretion of bilirubin, which just happens to be a product of broken down red blood cells. After all, your body has to get rid of the old red blood cells, and they only last for around 120 days.
The liver also helps control cholesterol, hormones, and drugs breakdown of carbohydrates, fats, and proteins, activation of enzymes, which are specialized proteins essential to body functions, storage of glycogen, a form of sugar, minerals, and vitamin A, D, E, and K, and synthesis of blood proteins, such as albumin, as well as synthesis of clotting factors.
A number I remember from early med school was that the liver had over 500 separate functions, usually in combination with other systems and organs. Also remember that currently, right now, no artificial organ or device is capable of reproducing all the functions of the liver.
According to the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, approximately 4.4 million Americans are currently living with chronic hepatitis B and C. Many more people don't even know that they have hepatitis.
Treatment options, they vary depending on which type of hepatitis you may have. You can prevent some forms of hepatitis through immunizations and, of course, lifestyle precautions. We've mentioned it before, but the most common types of viral hepatitis, well, they're hepatitis A, B, C, D, and E. A different virus is responsible for each type of virally transmitted hepatitis. Now, hepatitis A is usually an acute short-term disease, while hepatitis B, C, and D are most likely to become ongoing and chronic. Hepatitis E, it's usually acute, but could be particularly dangerous in pregnant women. Well, it's time for our mid-show break. I'm Dr. Harold Lasky with Carmen Lasky, and this is Hey Doc. This is a great time to tell you about Southside Medical Center. I'm Dr. Harold Lasky, and I've been the medical director and physician at Southside Medical Center for the past 29 years. We're located at 3604 Southside Boulevard, just two blocks south of the Beach Boulevard intersection between the Pottsburgh Post Office and the Tulsa Welding School. We will treat your pains, sprains, and strains. Our practice emphasizes chronic pain management as well as anti-aging medicine. We also have an office-based substance treatment program for those who need it. Southside Medical Center is open 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday. If you would like to make an appointment or ask any questions about Southside Medical Center, please call us at 641-4411. That's 641-4411. Southside Medical Center, where your health is our primary care. Welcome back to the Hey Doc Show. Now, Carmen and I are going to continue our talk on hepatitis.
Hepatitis A is caused by an infection with the hepatitis A virus, or HAV. This type of hepatitis is most commonly transmitted by consuming food or water contaminated by feces from a person infected with hepatitis A.
Hepatitis B is transmitted through contact with infectious body fluids, such as blood, vaginal secretions, or semen, containing the hepatitis B virus, HBV, and injection drug use, having sex with an infected partner, or sharing razors with an infected person. These all increase the risk of getting hepatitis B. It's estimated by the CDC that 1.2 million people in the U.S. and worldwide, well, that's about 350 million, live with chronic liver disease.
Hepatitis C comes from the hepatitis C virus, HCV. It is transmitted through direct contact with infected body fluids, typically through injection, drug use, and sexual contact. HCV is among the most common blood-borne viral infections in the United States.
I'm sure you hate hearing all these numbers, but approximately 2.7 to almost 4 million Americans are currently living with a chronic form of the infection. Hepatitis D, it is a serious liver disease, and it's caused, of course, by the hepatitis D virus. It's contracted through direct contact with infected blood. It is a rare form that only occurs in conjunction with hepatitis B infection. You won't see one, that is, hepatitis D, without the hepatitis B virus as well. It can't multiply without the presence of hepatitis B, and it's very uncommon in the United States.
Hepatitis C is a waterborne disease that is mainly found in areas with poor sanitation and typically results from ingesting fecal matter that contaminates the water supply.
Causes of non-infectious hepatitis, we've glanced over that a little bit. Alcohol and other toxins, excessive alcohol consumption can cause liver damage and inflammation. It's where the itis comes from. Remember that from the very start of the program? This is sometimes referred to as alcoholic hepatitis. The alcohol directly injures the cells of the liver, and over time, it can cause permanent damage, leading to liver failure and cirrhosis, which is a thickening and scarring of the liver tissue itself. Other toxic causes of hepatitis include overuse or overdose of medications and exposure to poisons.
In some cases, the immune system mistakes the liver as a harmful object and begins to attack it. That is what is called autoimmune disease. It causes ongoing inflammation that can range from mild to severe, often hindering liver function. It's 3 times more common in women than in men.
If you have infectious forms of hepatitis that are chronic, like hepatitis B and C, you may not have symptoms in the beginning. Symptoms may not occur until the damage affects the liver function itself. Signs and symptoms of acute hepatitis appear quickly, and these include fatigue, flu-like symptoms, dark urine, pale stool, abdominal pain, loss of appetite, unexplained weight loss, and that yellow skin, sometimes called jaundice, as well as yellow eyes. Treatment options are determined by which type of hepatitis you have and whether the infection is acute or chronic.
Hepatitis A usually doesn't require treatment because it is a short-term illness. Bed rest may be recommended if your symptoms cause a great deal of discomfort. If you experience vomiting or diarrhea, follow your doctor's orders for hydration and nutrition.
The hepatitis A vaccine is available to prevent this infection. Most children begin vaccination between the ages of 12 and 18 months, and it's given in a series of 2 vaccines. Vaccination for hepatitis A is also available for adults and can be combined with the hepatitis B vaccine. acute hepatitis B usually doesn't require specific treatment.
Chronic hepatitis B is treated with antiviral medications. This form of treatment can be costly because it must be continued for several months or even years. Treatment for chronic hepatitis B also requires regular medical evaluation and monitoring to determine if the virus is responding to treatment.
Hepatitis B can be prevented with vaccination. Now, the CDC recommends hepatitis B vaccinations for all newborns. The series of three vaccines is typically completed over the first 6 months of childhood. The vaccine is also recommended for all healthcare and medical personnel. Now let's get back to hepatitis C for a bit. Antiviral medications are used to treat both acute and chronic forms of hepatitis C. People who develop chronic hepatitis C are typically treated with a combination of antiviral drug therapies, not just one. They may also need further testing to determine the best form of treatment.
People who develop cirrhosis, scarring of the liver, or liver disease as a result of chronic hepatitis C may be candidates for a liver transplant. As we said, currently there is no vaccination for hepatitis C.
No antiviral medications exist for the treatment of hepatitis D at this time. And according to a 2013 study, a drug called alpha interferon can be used to treat hepatitis D. But it only shows improvement in about 25 to 30% of people.
Hepatitis D can be prevented by getting the vaccination for hepatitis B. As infection with hepatitis B is necessary for hepatitis D to develop.
Currently no specific medical therapies are available to treat hepatitis E either. Because the infection is often acute, it typically resolves on its own. People with this type of infection are often advised to get rest, drink plenty of fluids, get enough nutrients, and avoid alcohol. However, pregnant women who develop this infection may require close monitoring and care. Now, before we get to the hepatitis viruses, there are some other causes of hepatitis that are not viral related. We've mentioned them just a moment ago.
Again, we have autoimmune hepatitis. Corticosteroids like prednisone or budesonide are extremely important in the early treatment of autoimmune hepatitis. They are effective in about 80% of people with this condition. Also, another drug called azathioprine or Imuran, a drug that suppresses the immune system, is often included in the treatment.
It can be used with or without steroids. There are other immune-suppressing drugs like Cellcept, Prograf, and Cyclosporine or Neoral, which can also be used as alternatives to the azathioprine for treatment. Just last Thursday, I was interviewed by a reporter for Channel 4's News for Jax program on the recent increase in hepatitis A, as reported by the Florida Department of Health. They have recommended that Floridians who haven't gotten vaccinated for hepatitis do so as soon as possible.
There have been over 380 cases since the first of this year, which is three times higher than a five-year average of 126 cases.
Most are in the Tampa Bay and Orlando metropolitan areas, and just last month, 86 cases were reported.
The highest rate of disease appeared to be among patients between 30 and 49 years old.
Common risk factors include injection and non-injection drug use, homelessness, and men having sex with men.
Hepatitis A is a highly contagious disease that, as its name implies, attacks the liver. It is transmitted person to person with exposure, oftentimes due to some types of sexual contact and poor hand hygiene after going to the bathroom or changing diapers.
Over three-quarters of Floridians who get the disease have required hospitalization. So what can you do to prevent it in the first place? Well, the Department of Health recommends that certain persons be vaccinated against the hepatitis A virus. Now, here's a kind of long list, but I'm going to include it here. Children at age 1 year, persons who are at increased risk for infection, or who are at increased risk for complications from Hep A. Users of injection and non-injection drugs, persons who are homeless, men who have sex with men, persons who have chronic liver disease, persons traveling to or working in countries that have a high rate of HIV, persons who have clotting factor disorders, and household members and other close personal contacts of adopted children newly arriving from countries with high or even intermediate HIV endemicity.
Also, persons having direct contact with persons who have HIV and even healthcare providers who have close contact to persons with hepatitis A.
Well, next is hygiene with good hand washing. Stay away from raw or undercooked shellfish and oysters, and maybe even raw fruit and vegetables from endemic areas. As far as hepatitis B, C, and D, remember that you can contract these viruses through sharing drug needles, razors, and sometimes someone else's toothbrush. Another warning, don't touch spilled blood.
Hepatitis B and C can also be contracted through sexual intercourse and intimate sexual contact. Practicing safe sex by using condoms and dental dams can help decrease the risk of infection.
We haven't said much about the other viruses at all, but a vaccination for hepatitis E does exist in China, but it isn't available in the United States. Chronic hepatitis B or C can often lead to more serious health problems. Because the virus affects the liver, people with chronic hepatitis B or C are at risk for chronic liver disease, cirrhosis, and liver cancer.
When your liver stops functioning normally, liver failure can occur, and complications of liver failure included bleeding disorders, a buildup of fluid in your abdomen, increased blood pressure in portal veins that enter your liver, known as portal hypertension kidney failure, hepatic encephalopathy, which can involve fatigue, memory loss, and diminished mental abilities due to buildup of toxins like ammonia that affects brain function.
There's also an increase in hepatocellular carcinoma, which is a form of liver cancer, and that four-letter word, death. Well, actually, it's five letters, but I'm trying to make a point here.
People with chronic hepatitis B and C are encouraged to avoid alcohol because it can accelerate liver disease and failure. Certain supplements and medications can also affect liver function. If you have chronic hepatitis B or C, check with your doctor before taking any new medications.
Most people diagnosed with chronic hepatitis B infection need treatment for the rest of their lives. Treatment helps reduce the risk of liver disease and prevents you from passing the infection to others. And treatment for chronic hepatitis B may include antiviral medications such as Baraclude, Virene, Epivir, Hepcera, and Tyzica. These can help fight the virus and slow its ability to damage your liver.
Then there are the interferon injections, which actually is a man-made version of a substance produced by the body to fight infection. Interferon should not be used during pregnancy. We also have the liver transplant. If your liver has been severely damaged, a liver transplant may be an option.
Now here's a rundown of the medications that are available to treat hepatitis C.
Ribavirin works by stopping viruses from replicating and spreading. Brand names of ribavirin include Copegus, Modeliva, Rebetol, Ribasphere, and Ribapac.
You have to be careful here since ribavirin may cause birth defects if a woman is taking it during pregnancy. And listen to this. It can also cause birth defects if a man fathers a child during his treatment with this drug.
Then there are the direct-acting antivirals, which are the standard of care for chronic HCV infection today. These drugs work by attacking HCV directly. This means they are more targeted than other treatments such as interferons.
Also, they don't affect as many systems in your body as interferons, so they may not cause as many side effects. They're all oral drugs. Now we're coming to the home stretch here with protease inhibitor antiviral medications, which work by preventing the spread of infection. Yes, they stop viruses from multiplying in the body. One type is cimeprevir or Olicio for genotypes 1 and 4, and the other is ischrazoprevir for genotype 3.
The FDA approved Mavyret in 2017 for use in the treatment of any genotype of HCV. It is a combination drug that contains glecaprevir and pibrevir. Mavyret is the first treatment that can be administered for only 8 weeks in people without cirrhosis.
Most of the other combination drugs must be administered for a minimum of 12 weeks. I left hepatitis A to the last year since it usually requires no treatment except for the complications of the disease. No specific treatment exists for hepatitis A. Your body will clear the hepatitis A virus on its own. In most cases of hepatitis A, the liver heals within 6 months with no lasting damage. And again, hepatitis A treatment usually focuses on keeping the patient comfortable and controlling the signs and symptoms of the disease. Carmen and I hope that you've enjoyed the past half hour and have found it interesting, educational, and maybe just a little bit entertaining.
So, from all of us here at Southside Medical Center, have a happy and healthy weekend. Goodbye.